Okay, hi everyone, it's Sarah, and we are already on week 4 of the Envision process. This class goes by so quickly, but we're doing very well. I want to let you know that I did post the Facebook thread questions, the post that says this is where we'll post our questions for tonight. It's the magenta in color. I always wait to the last minute to do that to make sure that it's at the top of the thread so that I can see it. So if you have any questions tonight, put it in that thread. But I do ask that you give me just a minute to cover the material, because sometimes I am able to ask the questions that you have in advance, that I was already had it in my notes and was anticipating the question, and so hope to cover it tonight. I'm going to do a quick review of the first two questions of the Envision process, where am I and when am I, before I jump into question 3 tonight. We have a lot to cover today, and I'm going to do my best to cover as much of the material as possible, as well as to provide as many coaching examples as possible. It takes a little bit longer to come to a resolution with this part of the coaching process, so I might go over the 2-hour mark tonight, depending on how things go, just to give you a little bit of a heads up about that. And I do have the recorder set to go a little bit long, so it'll be captured if you have to leave early or are listening to the replay. Okay, so first our review. In our first 3 modules, we're looking to bypass the automatic, neurologically wired subconscious mind that is now operating in this subconscious pattern way that is based on our past, and instead receive or have revealed to us something that's helpful that we didn't previously know, like an insight or a puzzle piece that shifts where and when we're standing and places us not only back into the present moment, but also in that moment with new wisdom we didn't previously have in the moment before. The hallmark of Envision is surprise. It's something that we don't expect that creates an aha moment, both in the mind as well as this experience within the body, that's remarkably different than the usual familiar pattern we were just looking at. And so 3 points about the Envision process that I can't emphasize enough are that, number 1, this process is a receptive process. It's not a projection process. Number 2, it's an intuitive process, not an analytical process. And number 3, it repeatedly shows us that there is much less to fear in the unknown than we thought. And so all of these 3 skills are worth cultivating. 1, becoming more receptive. 2, learning to go with the flow. And 3, cultivating a much less fearful relationship with what is unknown. It takes practice to steer away from needing to be or do this process right, but instead stay in the process and be willing to discover what unfolds. As we engage the Envision process, we begin to consciously recognize that the unknown holds the good. It holds the potential and the fulfillment of our lives, which are both things that, when we're stressed, are unknown to us. We begin to no longer fear looking within or not knowing, but instead become excited by it and be willing to move toward it. In all of the questions in the Envision process, we bypass the subconscious mind by tapping into the unconscious mind, which, similar to any concept that we have of God, the unconscious mind is experiential and not really knowable or describable with words. And so by loosening up the ego's need to know why, to follow a linear process or a cause and effect rules, helps us to broaden us out of the known and into what's possible. And to help provide us with some context about why this shift beyond what is known or our usual way of operating in the world is so powerful, is to remember that the visible light spectrum is only a tiny, tiny part of the full spectrum of how light expresses itself and exists. For life's expression goes way beyond not just sight, but all five senses. Scientists have already measured examples of this, like gravity, X-rays, bacteria, black holes, supersonic sound, and indeed archetypal or psychological patterns. All of these things are just the tip of the iceberg about what's potential in life. So since life holds potentials of experiences that simply lie outside not only our five senses, but outside of reason and logic itself, that's what we're utilizing with the Envision process. That's what we're trying to tap into. We're trying to bring a perspective outside of the known experience and into an unknown experience. Another way to say that is we can't really solve a problem that was from the same level from which it was created. So in order to move beyond the level from which it was created, we tap into the unconscious. And how we tap into that with the Envision process is by using this container of an environment to engage and invite communication about what we don't know or can't see regarding our stuck patterns, and access information beyond the level of where we're used to seeing it to create a new perspective and perception, and then enable ourselves to choose quite differently. We also do this by understanding that not only is life more cyclical, like a spiral, than it is linear, time is also not linear. So we can visit places in time, just like we can visit places representing an emotional state in our mind. And we are working with these two levels, with the where am I and the when am I process. And if you've practiced with this at all, you've seen that all of this is true. All of this is true, it's highly engaging, and it works, and it's accessible. I also just want to note that there were some great questions on the Facebook page this week that enabled me to explain specific examples a little bit more deeply, and so I encourage you to check those out if you haven't yet seen them. You may have originally seen the question of the post, but maybe didn't see, you know, my answer or all of the discussion that went on beyond it. So I encourage you to go back and review that to just help you to integrate this process a little bit more clearly. And again, to have different voices explaining similar things is always really helpful. Okay, now I'm going to move on to this week's lesson, which is question 3 of the Envision process. Who am I listening to? And in this segment, we engage with the voices in our mind. And hopefully you've been able to do the chatterbox exercise and have gotten a visual of your own thoughts and have used that exercise to see and experience how you can first observe them and then gather them together and put them away to quiet them down. And as you're starting to see, each of the components of the Envision process invites us to become the observer. And in this lesson, the way that we become the observer is to be the observer of our internal voices so that we can detach from them, similar to how we become the observer and detach from a where or a when. We detach from the who representing a voice. So whether it's a place, a time, or a voice, when we become aware of any of them, all three of them, we're become aware that each of these experiences, whether it's an emotional state or whether it's a place in time or whether it's a voice that we're experiencing, all three of these are experiences that we have that are only temporary. And it's helpful to remember that these are temporary experiences that our observer self, our I am presence, remains neutral and steady through it all. These experiences pass through it. They are not us. They are not it. We are the observer neutral self. So it's the who is the one who is aware that I am anxious, as opposed to I am anxiousness itself or I am fear. It's who is the one that knows that I am afraid. That is the observer. That is the one that we're also increasing our relationship and connection to. And so I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the origin of question three of the envision process, because it's different of the origin of the where am I process. And so the roots of question three are based in psychosynthesis, which I'm having trouble saying, which has been adopted in one form or another by many strains of psychology, and was first developed by the Italian psychologist Roberto Assaglioni. And he posited that through adverse experiences, whether they be major or minor, repetitive or singular, doesn't really matter, our whole self can be split into fragments. And parts of ourselves that are generally, these parts of ourselves are generally young and emotionally immature. They generally exist without an ability to reference a context, and they take the forefront in our minds when we are stressed or triggered. He also felt that we're intended to evolve beyond the repetitive patterns that many of us fall into, beyond the fragmentation, and that we do this again by becoming aware of them and integrating these parts back into our more whole and peaceful state. Since these fragmented parts of are parts of who we are, that means that we can bring them back together, and that we can integrate them, and that we can do this only with loving compassion. These parts of ourselves are fragmented and fractured largely because they were denied or excluded or unacceptable at some point. And so in order to bring them back into the whole, in order for them to be integrated, we need to look at them and view them with love and compassion. And the whole integrated self is, again, in context of the envision process, it's the neutral observer. That's the whole self. Again, the I am presence that is the one through which all of our experiences pass through. Question three, who am I listening to, is also based on the process of voice dialogue, which was created by Hal and Cedra Stone. And Colette provides a really great article from them that I recommend that you take time to read. It's fascinating and great stuff. Now, the fractured parts of ourselves that that we're talking about with psychosynthesis is called the shadow by Jung, and Colette refers to it as the goblin. And she gives a great background story of how she came up with the term goblin, why it's important, and how it's based on Rumpelstiltskin. And I encourage you to listen to her explain that. It's part 5 of module 4, and she explains it far better than I could. It's really wonderful, and it also helps to bring this lighter sense of working with our issues than instead of making it so heavy. So I encourage you to look at that. Unfortunately, the link that we used to have that Colette mentions in the video referencing Jung in the shadow and fairy tales is no longer a viable link. It's not up and active. It's not our link. And so we can't provide that resource anymore. But you can feel free to do any more investigation on your own of any of these bases through which Colette created this, because that's exactly what she did. She just kept diving into things that were helpful to her that became fascinating and enabled her to put this whole process together based on a lot of other people's works, the bits and pieces that worked for her. She wanted to be able to bring to, you know, a less therapeutic model and into a more, you know, imaginative and creative process. So wherever your interest lies, I just encourage you to always follow that, follow anything that piques your interest, as it helps to integrate ourselves even deeper and more further in a more personal way. So, but moving forward on the goblin, just in generalized terms, the goblins, shadows, challengers, archetypes, there are more patterns than they are learned and cultivated behaviors than they are personal traits of ours. They're not like our character. They're just patterns that run, and they're traits that we learned. And the problem is that when they were once useful in our lives, they no longer are. And so we call them challengers because they get in the way of our ability to move forward and evolve as we were meant to. The challenger archetypes are, you know, come about because they're wounded, fractured parts of ourselves. They're always born out of fear, and therefore they're always operating in a very defensive position, a survival position, if you will. And it's always operating from a place where it just wants to keep itself, the pattern, and therefore you, it thinks, safe. It can also simply mimic how our parents related to others in the world, but has taken such a strong hold within us that we didn't even realize. We have to become aware of it in order to interrupt it. Sorry, I'm repeating myself in my notes here, so I'm just going to move on. But what we want to do is become aware, as always, in the envision process, because otherwise these patterns within us become what we've all heard is the definition of insanity, where we keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So we want to pull ourselves out of that through observing it. Colette covers 12 common archetypes, as well as accompanying emotions and suppositions that we tend to make in these patterns that run, and I encourage you to check those out because it can be helpful, especially for any of you who are struggling with connecting to your emotions or connecting to any patterns, having trouble identifying patterns that are running for you. I can't, again, emphasize enough that naming is such a powerful tool. If I can name that I can see I'm running a rescuer pattern, if I can name that I can see I'm running a people pleaser pattern, if I can name that I can see I'm feeling not just fear, but I'm feeling disappointment or I'm feeling anger or underneath that is deep sadness or grief or rage. All of those things, by simply naming them and speaking them, we have this tendency to think that if we name it or if we speak it, it makes it real. But the truth is it's already real and we're just avoiding it. So we want to bring up our empowerment by naming and recognizing, because once we're able to do that, it also takes it outside of us. And it's something that we're able to observe, and it's something that we're able to then deal with. So the naming and the acknowledging of the feelings and the patterns is not about doing it so that we can judge it. It's about doing it so that we can have clarity and observation and give it an opportunity to be transmuted into something else. So we become consciously aware then of the internal repetitive voice with the question, who am I listening to? Then we detach from it and choose differently. We interrupt the pattern and powerfully and consciously choose something different instead of succumbing to a voice that's false and always again rooted in the past and not in the present. So as I stated, she gives you 12, examples of goblins or archetypes that nearly all of us can relate to, if not only knowing that we run them, that we have them, but of observing them in others. And in general, if you have observed this pattern in another person, you likely have part of that pattern within yourself. And so, again, we don't want to be judgmental or clinical or diagnostic with others. We just want to see any reflection of a pattern as something that gives us the opportunity for us to look within ourselves and to be able to change it. Okay. The other note that I want to make here is that it's really helpful to remember that nearly all of these patterns have a 0% rate of success in obtaining what they want. Again, this is an insanity pattern. It's similar to what codependence is, which is a large topic on itself. But just in general, if we're hoping for the external world to change in order for us to feel better, we're going to be running that pattern for the rest of our life without success. If we're hoping for another person to change, another context to change, another circumstance to change, whether it's, the circumstance of money, or if it's a loved one in our life, if we're waiting for the external to change before the internal changes in order for us to get what we want, we're going to have zero chance of success with that. And it's helpful for us to recognize this, that it hasn't been successful, in order for us to begin to detach from it, because there's such strong patterns and they feel so strong that they're hard to detach from. They really defended themselves to the end, but they never, ever, ever give us the positive results that we want. And so we want to make sure that we hold that knowledge that they have a 0% chance of success. Because if this is true for anything else in our lives, whether it's a product that we want to buy or something that we want to engage with, if it had a 0% chance of success, we would cease being attracted to it and we would move on to something else. So I just wanted to make that point that the success rate of all of these patterns is zero. We don't end up feeling safe. We don't end up becoming in better relationships. Our circumstances externally don't change. So we then want to go ahead and again turn inward. Inward is where, and with ourselves, is the place where change occurs in our lives. Okay? So again, I know I say this over and over, but it can't be repeated enough. The work here is to become conscious of the pattern, be able to observe the pattern. And we do it one at a time, just like we do a where am I one at a time. We do a when am I one at a time. We want to observe one at a time voice. The voice is inside ourselves, not outside ourselves. We want to turn toward it with compassion. We want to turn toward it with a real loving gaze. And then we want to identify that we can become detached and observe it from outside instead of be identified with it. And we want to make sure that as we're looking at it with loving gaze, we will no longer then be ashamed or want to hide it and suppress it, avoid it or distract ourselves away from it, and in turn be really, really loving and caring and just watch how easily and effectively it can wither in the amount of energy that it holds and how it can also be calmed and soothed and not shamed. So the chair exercise enables us to have a very different experience. Again, what we're doing is trying to move out of the, you know, intellectual understanding of it and move into a bodily experience of the very different energy that is present within us as we experience the fragmented parts of ourselves that is different from our usual way of working and from our observer selves. We can then begin to see this pattern again as separate. We can engage it just like we do with the landscape. We're going to invite it into a dialogue. We're going to invite it into a communication. We're going to turn towards it, be interested in it, be curious with it, engage it, and learn a lot more than what we thought before. And so if you've been able to look at the process, it involves three different chairs. And what I want to say is we're really working with energy. We're always working with energy. We're not working with an intellectual concept. And so it is important to, again, experience this rather than just try to do it without experiencing it. So we need the separate places of the chairs in order to identify the very different energies with which we are working with. Okay, and I'm going to coach you in that next, but first I want to ask if there's any questions, and I'm happy to take questions about any part of the process so far, not just, you know, question three. And so I'm going to look first on the internal control panel here because I tend to forget that. So I'm going to look here and refresh that. Okay, thank you for telling me that you could hear me and see me. I don't see a written question, so now I'm going to check the Facebook page. And Paul is asking, I understand that in the envision process, we're not to delve into or repeat the story. That is the issue. Is there a situation when it would be important to suggest therapy to deal with the problem that would, in fact, spotlight the details of the story, either for ourselves or for others? So, yeah, I would say that, you know, hopefully, well, number one, we're no longer, you know, sort of marketing this as a coaching tool. But if you're a coach and you are using it with clients, I would hope that already, like in my, you know, agreements that I have with my clients, I specifically say up front, you know, this isn't therapy and doesn't treat psychological disorders. I can only coach you to the best of my ability. And so we have an understanding, number one, that what we're doing is coaching and not therapy. And then if you have a client then or something that you're working with and you don't feel like you can help them because it goes beyond your reach, then it's for certain it's helpful. I think the way that I would phrase it is to say, you know, this feels a little bit over my head. I'm not certain that I can help you with this. I think that maybe a mental health professional might be better able to, you know, work with you more effectively than I can. So I would refer you to that. You know, if you're working with a study buddy, you know, or somebody that you just met or your family members, I would say that's actually not really your call about whether someone needs therapy or not. You could just say, you know, I think that there's people who are really able to help with these, you know, issues. You know, there's plenty of people who can help. That's what I would say. We can have, you know, professionals that work in the mental health field. Mental health field can help. Energy people can help. Coaches can help. They all have a different take on it. And so I suggest, you know, you find the best person that fits for you. That's what I would say. That's how I would answer that question. And then Brenda is asking, inward is a place we thought was safe, is not so safe. Be okay with this? Well, I'm not sure that I understand your question, but Brenda, what I would say is we experience these things in our body, and we have a real strong story attached to them that we're not necessarily, that's not necessarily accurate. And we're always this wounded part of ourselves feels like it's not safe. That's what I would say. We feel like we're not safe internally. And so we run these patterns to try to make ourselves safe. And the truth is, we are safe. We are safe. We don't feel like we're safe, but we are safe. And so we go about in the external world trying to control and change environments, people, others, to get safe. But if we can go within and talk to the parts of ourselves and look at the parts of ourselves that are scary or challenging or feel unsafe, we will discover our own internal safety. I think that's how I would answer that. And hopefully that's, you know, what your question was. Okay? So those are the questions that I see. And thank you. You're welcome that I do coaching, Janie. Thank you for that remark on the Q&A internal portion, I guess. I don't know what to call that, the webcast portion when you have to type in the question there. Okay, so I think I just saw another. Okay, Brenda, I did answer your question. Great, thank you. Okay, so we're going to move to the coaching part now. And so you do need to have three chairs or at least three different somethings to hold on to be able to experience this energy shift. But also, because what I want to say about question three is that this question, who am I listening to, and engaging with the voice is much more challenging than engaging with the landscapes, okay? And it takes a lot more adeptness as a coach or a person to work with this. It can be pretty tricky because we're actually talking. And so just like before when, you know, and just like in the question that Paula was asking about not going into the story, the more we go into the story, the more we are, you know, reaffirming the pattern. And since we're working with a voice, we actually are talking, and that voice is going to want to go into the pattern. And in general, that can trigger us and we can be irritated. And since we're talking, we engage from that level, which can be very, very challenging. And so I just want to honor that this piece of the Envision process is the most challenging piece of the process. And it can also be the most triggering within for us. And so having said that, you know, this was actually not necessarily true last week, which is why I didn't do the transition piece. But we're going to need the transition piece today to make sure that we all stay with ourselves and not get, you know, caught up in the emotion of the person who's being coached. Okay? So let's do that now. Let's take a moment to take a nice deep breath in and exhale. And just do that on your own a couple of times. I know that you're listening to me, but let's focus internally first, because it's always good to focus within and become grounded within ourselves. We're going to become grounded into this very safe moment The now moment is always safe. The internal place is safe. The now moment is safe. We're going to come within ourselves. And then again, we're just going to call for a little extra help to help us stay grounded within ourselves and to stay neutral. And we'll do that just by calling in some colors to just see which color suits you the best, or if the whole rainbow feels good to you, that's good. But let's first call in pink. Just surround yourself with pink and see how that feels to you. Engage with pink. Have a relationship with pink. And if it feels good, we'll keep pink. And if not, we're going to go ahead and move on to white. Let's try white. Feel white all around you. Now we're going to try gold. We're going to call in gold. We're also just practicing invitation and seeing how, just by suggesting gold, I experience gold. I'm not even looking physically with my five senses at gold, but I'm experiencing gold. I'm experiencing it as a feeling as well as a color. It has an energy. We're practicing tuning in to energy more so than the 5D experience. Okay, let's try green now. Bring in green. Communicate, feel into green. How does green feel? Like today, green's feeling really good to me today. Some days, different colors speak to me differently. And now let's try blue. Feel blue all around you. Just be immersed in blue. Engage with blue. Feel how it's different from green and pink and white and gold. Good. Now let's just try like silver, platinum. A little bit more than that, you know, than a primary color. And on top of that, let's try magenta. Just getting a little more fancy with the color. Just feeling the different energy of that, the complexity of that. Great. Now I'm just going to do that again with shapes. I'm just also just helping you to engage, you know, beyond this linear way that our mind tends to keep us a little bit too small and a little too stuck. We want to become more expanded and bigger. So let's think first of a circle. And then, you know, make sure the circle's a sphere, like it's a 3D circle. If you can imagine a four-dimensional spherical shape, do that. Now let's do like an oval. Rounded sides, but a little different shape, a little different feel. More like an egg than a ball. Now let's do a pyramid. So it's a triangle, but it's a pyramid when we got more dimension to it. Right? Do that. Now let's try a star, actually. Feel the shape of the star. See a 3D star. How does that feel to be in? Just be in it. Be in a spatial relationship that's different than you're used to. Engage a little bit. Explore. And just see how neutral they are just in terms of their existence, but how our relationship with it is different. Okay, I think those are enough little things, right? We have a whole bunch to play with. I want you to play with that a little bit and then just pick what feels best. Maybe one color, one shape, two colors, two shapes, whatever feels the best. Hold yourself there, right? We're going to stay within ourselves. All right. So now we're going to move on to the coaching part. And so if whoever has three chairs and would like to be coached, go ahead and press star 2 on your keypad, and I will be happy to coach you. And I'm not seeing any hands up yet. I'm going to go ahead and hit refresh, but I think everybody might be just a little bit shy today. So Colette does give the example in there, in the videos of what it looks like when she did it. So you have that there, but you know, in order to engage this, I need a volunteer. Can I have someone brave who's taken this class before, who's willing to do this? Go ahead and press star 2 to raise your hand. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate it, everybody. I'm not the only one, and everyone has said, you know, we understand how brave it is to be able to do this, you know, in a semi-public manner. And it's so helpful to all of us. So I so appreciate all the volunteers. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead, and it looks like this person is from Dallas, BC, and it says, I just dropped you instead of answered your question. I'm so sorry. It was Mike Larson. I hope you call back in. Can somebody post that for me in the thread that I did accidentally just drop that caller, and I'm so sorry I have them call back in. I'm so sorry about that. The next person I hit the wrong thing is, it says, David Connor in San Diego. Who's this?
Hi, it's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. You're always so brave to raise your hand, which I appreciate.
Of course.
And do you have access to three chairs?
You do.
Great.
I do.
Great.
Huh?
I appreciate that. And so I actually just see that someone didn't post that. So I'm just going to say I just want to post whoever I dropped on the call.
Okay.
Hang on 1 second.
No problem.
Okay. Take care of my peeps so you guys don't feel like I did any of that, you know, on purpose. Okay. Okay. So what we're going to do is, you know, I'm just going to start sort of with this blind because, you know, depending on who, you know, especially since we're just studying this with peers and we have less coaches on the call, we may not know what's active, right? So I'm just going to go with that instead of asking you ahead of time what you think is active, okay? So I'm going to have you go ahead and sit in the middle chair, and then just sort of as you sit there, feel the energy of the chair and just sort of say, you know, hi, I'm Nicole. You know, and then do a little naming. These are things I see in my environment, and this is how I feel, kind of a thing. And sit there and just kind of talk a little bit.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm in my room, so I see my salt lamp and my crystals and my purse and my TV, and I feel good. And I'm relaxed. Everything's good. Should I say that sounds good.
Well, yeah, you feel relaxed. Yeah, but also, you know, in general, don't you feel just a little nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a little nervous. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in general, right, the middle chair, our personality chair, especially in general, like we're about to work on something internal, right? If we sit in a chair,
right, yeah.
Like Colette says in her thing, I feel a little jumpy,
jittery.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right. So we want to kind of feeling
my leg.
Yes, just shaking your leg, right? So we just want to, and so this is just, again, part of the process that we want to slow down and not get ahead of is, you know, I am naming how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I can name that I'm a little jittery, and it actually becomes a little calming when we name it. And we can sort of see that I, even though I'm experiencing jittery, I am not jittery itself. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like you said, I'm more than that. I'm both, you know, sort of relaxed and jittery. Like both of those things are happening. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And so then I want you to sort of just intuitively look at the left chair and the right chair. Colette, you know, says to designate some, but in general, I found it's helpful to, again, engage the intuition and just sort of sense which chair feels like the observer chair and which chair feels like the challenger chair to you.
the left feels like the observer and the right feels like the challenger.
Okay, great. So just to sort of keep us nice and calm, I'm just going to have you go ahead and get up and get into the left-hand chair and the observer chair and sit in the chair and connect with your internal observer. You know, give yourself a minute to connect with your observer and then just tell me how you're feeling and what you're experiencing from this chair.
I definitely feel much calmer.
Okay.
My leg isn't shaking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very relaxed now. Just calm.
Yeah.
At peace.
Great. So, and I want everyone, I so appreciate this, everyone to witness, you can feel that and hear that in her voice. It's a genuine different energy in this different place. So this is, you know, I just want to integrate and fully resonate with all of us. When I am in my observer position, when I am connected to my observer self, I feel really calm. And is it also indeed accurate to say all is well in this moment?
Yeah, definitely. All is
right?
Well.
All is well. Mm-hmm. So just even if we do this, even if when we're experiencing something challenging, we sit in two different chairs and we connect with all as well, it's very, very beneficial. Okay.
Definitely.
The very minimum, right? Yes. Okay, great.
Definitely.
So now I'm going to have you go ahead and pop back into the middle chair.
Okay.
Just kind of be, right, this is the chair that represents you and your personality. And then I'm just going to ask you from here, do you have an idea of the challenger that you want to work with today?
Yes.
And so tell me a little.
I think loneliness, like feeling alone.
Feeling alone.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. And so from your personality, right, just tell me a little bit more about what do you know about feeling lonely, and what do you sort of think that means about you when you feel lonely, and, you know, what is the story around lonely? Just tell me a little bit about it from this perspective.
I think it's kind of just, I'm a very happy, like, laughing, smiley person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that I sometimes just get too much into my head when I'm by myself, and I think too much and I forget that I have me and that I can just meditate and relax and breathe. And that's what I do have. I always have me. And I think I forget that sometimes because I love to make people happy. I love to always make people smile and laugh. And
okay, so I'm just going to pause you there, right? So you're doing great, right? But I do want to tell you that you actually didn't really talk very much at all about loneliness. I just want to point that out. So, right?
Uh-huh.
So we just want to, and I want you to, because this is part of what we've done, right, is we sort of think that the only acceptable way to be in life is happy.
Right.
And positive,
totally.
which is inaccurate. Life is full of a tremendous amount of pain. That is what's accurate. I mean, not one of us is going to get through this life without some grief. We're all going to lose somebody that we love. Not one of us is going to get through life without being challenged and without failing. And not one of us isn't ever going to experience sadness. And these truths are actually what connect us. This vulnerability is what connects us to other people and helps us be able to relate to other people. Okay.
So true.
So true, right?
Definitely.
So now, right, so this is just a great example, but right, this type of conversation is not the type of conversation that we generally have with others, which is why we kind of, it does get sort of skimmed over, right?
Totally.
So now I'm just going to ask you again, tell me a little bit about loneliness from this perspective, from the new that you know. My experience of loneliness is what?
My experience of loneliness is, I guess, just feeling like lost and just not seen, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to point out, right, we need to get to know this part of you a little better, right?
Yeah,
we don't know it very well. So this is just a really good example. So I'm going to have you go ahead and move to the right chair.
Okay.
And I want you to sit in that chair. And actually, to the best of your ability, I want you to call up that feeling of, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. In this moment, I'm lonely. I'm connecting with loneliness. And as you do that, tell me a little bit about what you're experiencing from here.
I'm just shaky and sad. Not myself. Like, not me.
Well, but here's the thing. It is you. This is what we want to connect with. This is you.
Right.
This is you. So, right?
No, I guess not how I want to be.
Yes. Okay. That's it, right? So yeah. I want you to connect a little further into I'm lonely and I'm sad and I don't like it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, because I want you to really feel into the energy. I get this is uncomfortable, and this is what I'm going to tell you. It's temporary, and we're going to get out of this chair. But right now, I want to hear from lonely Nicole. And I want to know what she needs.
I think just to be, I don't even know how to say it, just like more, I guess, focused on what it is that I don't know how to put it into words.
I know, that's okay, right? So this takes a minute, right? This is why I said, you know, it takes longer to work with this, right? So, because what I'm trying to help you with in the energy of this, it's uncomfortable. I'm lonely, and I want loneliness to speak. So here's an example. I'm lonely, and I need attention. I'm lonely, and I need to be in relationship. I'm lonely. I need someone to look at me. I'm lonely. I need to be a does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm lonely and I need to be talked to, and I'm lonely and I need to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And what else? I need what else? Keep going.
I need to be heard and...
How about understood?
Yeah, I need to be understood.
Yeah, and like allowed to be lonely. How about that?
Yeah.
I need to be allowed to be, which right now is lonely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, great. So now I'm going to have you go ahead and move back into the middle chair.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, and then kind of sit back into the middle chair. And just tell me a little bit about what that was like to sort of get to experience a little more depth of the loneliness feeling.
Definitely, like, crazy to go deeper into it. Like, I've done this exercise once before with Colette at Oracle Palooza, and I don't think I got even that deep when I did it there. Like, this was much different, and definitely it was. It's good to just see it and experience it and understand it better.
Yeah, right.
And feel better being in this chair.
Yes, for sure. Right. We feel better in this chair. But can you also are you a little less afraid of loneliness now that?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great.
I feel like a weight was lifted. Better.
Okay, great. So. What's your take on loneliness now? I even want you to look at the chair, right? And that part of you, how do you feel about that part of you?
That I need to notice it more, and I need to see that part of me more.
Okay,
and I feel like when I am feeling that, that I need to really notice it and do something about it and change the way I'm feeling rather than.
Well, no,
really,
we're not changing
no.
it, right? No, because that's what you've been trying to do is change her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're denying her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so,
right.
you know, what, don't you, you know, do you really feel like you want to deny and change that part of you?
No, I guess just accept it.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? Don't we want to have compassion mm-hmm. for that feeling.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to have you move into the observer chair.
Okay.
Just really, again, connect to this neutral I am presence, the observer. Feel into the all is well perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All is well with all parts of Nicole. And then I'm going to have you from, you feel, are you in that energy?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I'm going to have you now look at the lonely chair. And from this perspective, how do you feel about loneliness?
Like it just needs love.
Mm-hmm. And does that feel hard?
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to have you go back into the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, just noticing the different energies and just sort of also accepting the different energies, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we can have a preference, but the truth is, right, thoughts, emotions, we can't control them. They come and they go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're all okay.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to go back into the lonely chair another time. And I know it's uncomfortable, but let's just feel it for a second. We're just a little less afraid of it. And it should be a little bit more, you know, willing to express itself. And as you tap in, what was the experience for the lonely part of you hearing what the personality and the observer had to say?
It just needs to accept.
Okay, so I'm going to pause right
and,
there because this is not an it. This should be I. You're speaking as loneliness, right? From loneliness.
I from loneliness need to accept love and the compassion when I'm feeling
here's the thing, right? So feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the compassion from the observer self and I felt what? Or
a
I
little
feel.
Bit better.
Okay.
I feel a little better.
Yeah. So you, this loneliness piece that gets to exist, feel into it a little mm-hmm. more. And now let me ask you, how old are you? Where did you originate lonely?
Like 14.
14?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you feel into that a little more because I bet it's younger than that. How old are you? Yeah. So I just wanted, like, I just get it, loneliness, that you're very reluctant mm-hmm. to be seen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't feel the loneliness. Are you feeling lonely? Because I'm not feeling
mm-hmm.
it.
No.
Yeah. So go back to the middle chair, because that's actually more where you are, right? We just want to get the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And talk to me a little bit from the middle chair here.
I'm definitely, like, calmer now.
Right, but tell me about what was happening in the lonely chair. Right.
I feel like I was just really feeling like starting to feel what, like I need to feel the love and the compassion and just, I don't know, hearing that from my observer self and the other, like my real self.
Yeah.
I think that helped.
Yes, I think it helped too. But are you experiencing your distance from loneliness?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, you know,
yeah.
Right. So, right. This is, you know, there's a, so I just want to say that this is like an example of, have you visited loneliness as a landscape?
I have, yeah.
And what did you learn about it?
Not as much as I learned right now, but I think that I learned just like, you mean like where I was?
No, what did you
learn? Like what?
Yeah, so lonely, like, so again, this is the receptive process. We're receiving information. What did you learn about your loneliness, not what to do about it?
Just that it's like.
Like, what did your landscape show you? Does that? Let me ask you that.
Uh huh.
What did it look like?
It was a forest.
Mm-hmm. And what did you glean from having been in the forest about your loneliness?
That I'm never really alone. That's what it started to show me, I feel like, is that I always have me, so I'm never by myself.
That's, you know, when we're in the landscape and learning about it, right? You know, you have a genuine feeling of loneliness. You had it today. You had it 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, when we're, so, you know, objectively, it's true. You're never alone. Objectively, it's true that we're always safe. That doesn't really tell us that much about our feeling of fear. It doesn't really tell us that much about our experience of loneliness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, there's just, you know, a huge resistance to depth, even though each smidgen you get feels better.
Yeah.
Right? So I think then, you know, I'm going to see if we can work with this, right? So this is just showing everybody how challenging this can be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you go sit in the, you know, the chair, that the goblin chair, we're going to call it. And I want to talk to resistance.
Okay.
So I want you to genuinely, and I'm going to remind you how safe you are. And I want you to genuinely feel pretty resistant to, you know, anything negative. I want you to sort of speak as resistance and say, I hate this. I know. speak as the voice of resistance. Give it some airtime here.
Yeah, I just want to cry right now.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay. I would like you to cry. Go ahead and cry. I don't like it. What else do you have to say?
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I feel what?
I feel mad.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I hear how mad you are. Tell me more.
I feel confused.
Okay.
I feel stuck.
I feel sick. Mm-hmm. What else?
I feel stuck.
I'm stuck. I'm sorry. Got it. Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Okay. It's okay to feel all those things. It's okay. I see you. I see that you're mad and you're confused and you're stuck. It's okay. It's okay to be all of those things. You get to be you. Resistance in this. And anything else? Is there anything you'd like to ask for?
I don't feel this way anymore.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, what do you think would help you not feel this way anymore?
To meditate.
Say that again?
To meditate.
Well, no, resistance doesn't know a thing about meditation, right?
No.
So, yeah. So, you know, acknowledge, you know, I need acknowledgement. I need what? Like, this is an emotional thing, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to escape it. I want to love on it.
Yeah.
I'm here to love on this with you. It's persistent because it's not seen and not met. It's not an adult that practices meditation.
Uh-huh.
You're pissed and confused and you're stuck.
Uh-huh.
And you're generally right. If we're pissed, we want to be heard and we want to be seen. And I'm telling you, I see you and I hear you no matter how pissed you are. And there's nothing that you can say that's going to make me turn my gaze from you. What do you need?
I
see you and I hear you. What else? You got it. What else? Are you tired? Are you?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Okay. So what I think will be good then is, you know, this was a workout for you. Right? Resistance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think hopefully it's going to help to have released some of that. And now, though, it's going to be fine for you to, you know, we're going to give you a rest in a second, but I'm going to go ahead and have you move to the personality chair now.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Very brave. People are saying that on the Facebook page. Very brave. We appreciate it. And let me just ask you from your personality self as you sort of collect yourself, Nicole, again, very brave. How are you feeling? How are you doing sitting here?
Better now. Definitely better.
Definitely better. Good. And I'm just going to also ask that you, I get that was uncomfortable, but
yeah.
Was that as hard as you thought?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable, though. But
yes.
It feels better now.
Right? And do you see how it was temporary?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And whatever we're afraid of looking at it, it's not as bad as we thought. We don't like it. It's uncomfortable. All of that's acceptable, but also better because we did look.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So now I want you to look at the chair and tell me if that resistant part of you, you know, kind of had an image or a not a landscape, but like a can you see anything that could be a similar representation of it in the chair?
Yeah, it's just like a mean and ugly looking little thing. Like, I wouldn't even say like a person, just like,
yeah,
dark and not welcoming.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
An inviting person.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and let it take a nap. Tell it to take a little nap and go to sleep. But I'd like it to stay in the chair. It gets to exist and have to take up some space.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then do you feel a little better now that it's asleep?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll give it a little bit of a rest, okay? And then I'm going to have you now move on over to the observer chair. just connect again into this I am presence, the all is well neutrality of the observer that's able to observe both Nicole and her personality and the fragmented, resistant part. And how are you feeling? Are you feeling into that energy? Can you feel it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So now, from this perspective, tell me your thoughts on the resistant fragmentation part of you. What do you
think
it needs? It, that part of it, right?
I think it needs more compassion and love.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just compassion and love. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And are you happy to, can you give it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Will it be hard to love that part of yourself, seeing it the way you see it?
No.
No. Easy. Easy peasy, right? Mm-hmm. Just some compassion and love there, right? Okay. Yeah. So, and from here, from this perspective, what do you see about it? Does it look the same to you as it did from the personality chair?
It's definitely not. I don't see it as much as I see it in myself. I think as an observer, it's just more of that it just needs love. And I think that's the only thing that I've really lacked with it, is just not showing that part of myself love. Like, I always want to just resist feeling.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Naming that feeling, or even, mm-hmm. I don't know, stating that I feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be happy, happy, happy. And I don't allow myself to really, like, feel what I'm feeling.
Right, right. So we're kind of back in the middle chair. So get back in the middle chair.
Right.
Because the energy, right? So you want to be able to discern the different energies and what voice you're talking from.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Just to sort of help everybody get this, is that when we're in the energy of the chairs, we talk as the energy of the chair.
Okay.
So, you know, and this is our first shot at it, you know, and like I said, this is the most complicated, you know, process of them all, right? Especially when we're working with challengers, right? So, and it's, you know, whatever, it's like a quote, you know, observable call by others, right? So this is, it's a challenging thing. So, but, you know, I just like, I see this in my personality chair. I'm this. I think this. This is what I think when I'm in the resistance. I, as resistance, I'm pissed. I'm angry. I am it.
Right.
I'm it. Uh-huh. Right. And it does not, you know, it does have needs and wants, and you feel it. And then when I'm in my observer chair, I'm like, wow. Wow. Everything gets love.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Right.
I have nothing but compassion for that resistance. I totally get it. The resistance thinks it's mean, but it's not mean. It's just sad.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, I have a better understanding. Yes.
Does that make
sense?
Right?
Yes, totally.
And I can bring that compassion and understanding. So I would say that was the part that, you know, when you were in your personality self describing the goblin, which it's fine to let it be have a nap, right? Because this was a huge stretch for you, and it was enough, right?
Yeah.
It was enough, right? And
yeah.
So you let it have a nap, and you can even take that chair and put it somewhere you can't see it for a while if you want to, if it, you know, if that just makes you feel better to get the energy clear, right?
Right.
Definitely. But I think that the word mean struck out to me because that's like a real judgment on that thing. Right? As an adjective.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
The only reason that someone would be mean is because they're in so much pain. Right? So we want to attend to the pain of your life, either through a landscape or a when am I, and I'm uncertain this goes much younger. Right? You want to attend to it, the sadness, and look toward it. Because trying to be happy all the time is only going to make it bigger. Because there's a huge amount of neglect upon the part of you that's pretty sad.
Okay, yeah.
Which is pretty sad,
right? Do you see how it kind of compounds itself?
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
You know. And and then I just want you to see how capable you are of doing this. Right? You're capable of feeling it. You're capable of naming it. You're capable of looking at it. Right? And you get to be capable of doing all of that and sort of not like it until it feels, it gets you the moment of insight. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you so much. We all appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Okay, and I did see, I so appreciate that. Let's all just send, you know, Nicole some love because we get how vulnerable that was and how helpful it was for all of us to, you know, experience that. We so appreciate it. And then I see that Annette, you're the one that was dropped but still connected. So can you raise your hand again, Annette? Just hit star 2 so that I can make sure that you're the next one here that I coach. Annette, are you here? Star 2? No? Okay. Well, if you, you know, are on the call, which it says you are and would like to be coached, go ahead and press star 2. Is there any, but I don't have any other hands raised. So who would like to try this? I know it takes a lot of courage, but it's very helpful to get. Anyone? Otherwise, we're going to have a pretty short call today. Nope. Okay. I'm not quite sure what to say. So here's what, oh, okay. We've got Dawn. Thank you, Dawn. Are you there?
I am.
Hi. Thank you, Dawn. We so appreciate everybody. So tell me a little bit about, you know, have you watched the module?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Good. And have you taken Envision before?
I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yeah. Did you hear me? No?
I have. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep. Have you taken Envision before?
Nope. No, I have not.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just trying to locate you a little bit better. Okay. And do you have 3 chairs you can use?
I do.
Okay, great. Okay. And so I am just going to go ahead and try this. Do you have an idea about the challenging voice in your head that you would like to work with today?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Will that work or should I just toss something out?
Well, we can see if something shows up in the chair, right? Okay. But let's go ahead and just practice a little bit. So let's go ahead and sit in the middle.
Okay.
And then just say a little bit, you know, hi, I'm Dawn, and I can see this and that, and I'm feeling this and that.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dawn. I see that I'm in my office, and it's a little bit full, nervous, and curious at the same time of what's this all going to bring.
Yes, okay, great. And then just intuitively, I want you to just sense into which chair is the observer chair and which chair is going to be the challenger chair.
Okay. The observer chair is going to be to the left, and the challenger chair goblin is to the right.
Okay, great. Okay, let's go ahead and get in the observer chair and just kind of connect with your neutral observer, I am all as well presence here.
Okay.
Just feel into the energy of that. Connect with it internally so that you can feel it as well energetically. Tell me a little bit about what you're experiencing.
I just feel very relaxed. I feel comfortable. I feel more in my body.
Mm-hmm.
In this chair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Curious.
Okay. Okay. Great. So now we're going to go ahead. I'm just going to have you go ahead, go to the middle chair again because we want to transition over.
Okay.
And then let me ask you this. Have you done the chatterbox exercise?
I have done the chair exercise.
No chatterbox?
Oh, the chatterbox? I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. And when you did the chair exercise before, what was the voice you talked to?
I don't remember. It's a couple years ago.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. Is there anything that you've been struggling with lately?
Direction.
Okay.
Want to go.
Direction in life, you mean?
Purpose. I guess not so much purpose. Financially, worries.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. What do you tell yourself about your financial worries? What's the voice in your head about that?
The voice in my head is, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. And does that I don't know what I'm doing voice have pertained to many things or primarily financial things?
Financial things involving investing.
Well, yeah. So the voice, though, yeah. I mean, there's one thing. Here's the thing. There's a ton of things we don't know.
Yes.
There's a ton of things we don't know how to do, right? So it's not really about the topic. It's about the feeling and the identity voice that that keeps us not knowing, right? Because if I don't know how to invest, I can learn how to invest. If I don't know how to ride a bike, I can learn how to ride a bike.
Right.
If I don't know how to do the three chair process, I can learn and practice it right?
Yes.
So I don't know what I'm doing, though, has a feeling component of it of like I don't know what I'm doing because I'm not smart enough to know and I've never known what I'm doing. Or you know what I'm saying? If that's something that's been with you your whole life, it's not really about the topic.
Right. So it's something else then about the topic because I feel like I can learn other things. It just seems like I'm blocked on this.
Well, right. So, well, you're blocked on learning how to invest. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not really what we're working with here, right?
Okay.
So you know, there may be some sort of, you know, because how old are you?
I'm 55.
Okay. And so we want to work with, you know, challenging voices we've had in our lives, right, that keep us from becoming who we're meant to become.
Okay. So
right?
Good enough?
I'm not good enough? Is that a familiar voice to you?
It's a very familiar voice.
There we go. Let's go ahead and get I'm not good enough in the chair. Let's pop on over there.
Okay, to the challenger chair. Here we go.
To the challenger chair, right? So
yes.
We're in the challenger chair, and you just want to feel into that, right? It's a crappy feeling. I am not good enough. Let's just feel into it.
Yeah, it just feels...
So, again, I'm going to try to help you get this. I feel in this chair, in this feeling, I feel...
Not good enough. I feel not good enough. It's just dark
mm-hmm.
and lonely and stuck. And I don't feel like I can't communicate with anybody. I can't. I'm just what? I just
mm-hmm.
going around in circles.
I can't stop going around in circles.
Yeah.
Feel it a little bit more. I know it's icky. I get it, right? But we're trying to give it a voice here, right?
Yes.
And so I can't keeps coming up, which is, you know, interesting, right? I can't is a familiar phrase from this voice. And
you can't do it. Who are you? It's just like you're not good enough. Nobody listens to you.
Okay, so again, right? Nobody's listening to me.
Right.
Right? I want you to really feel into that. Nobody listens to me.
Yes.
What else? I'm that must be I'm lonely. I can't do anything. I can't do anything with it. Do I feel I'm unsupported?
Yes. I'm not
right.
Nobody listens.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what would make this better for you. What do you think unworthiness? What do you need, unworthiness? What does it feel like you need? Don't try to guess. Like, right? So, like, if I'm feeling thirsty, I need water. If I'm feeling, does that make sense?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I need somebody to listen.
Mm-hmm. And I am listening. Yeah. What would you like to say? I'm ready to listen.
I need steps. I need.
We're starting though with I need someone to listen, and
yes.
I'm listening. What do you need me to hear?
Okay. So you're listening, and.
Right, so you're by unworthiness. I need someone to listen to me because I got something to say, and what I have to say is.
What I have to say is, I want to.
Feel it.
I want to feel confident in my choices.
Yeah, this isn't, again, it. Sorry, I know this is so difficult, right? So, try to, I'm just trying to stay in the, to get out of the head. So go back to the middle because that's where you are. You're trying to guess,
Okay.
Right? Go back to the middle. We'll just grab that for a sec.
Okay. Back to the middle.
Yep. And it should feel a little better already. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A little lighter.
We're going to separate those out a little bit. Look at the chair and then just tell me if you see anything there.
I don't really.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. And from this perspective, what do you think happened in the chair over there?
From this perspective, I just thought I was confused, weighted down, and stuck. And that's from this perspective.
Well, what happened with unworthiness? What went on there from this perspective?
For the unworthiness is not being listened to, valued.
Whoops, right? Just you and I, right, sitting here, what happened in the chair is unworthiness seemed to spiral into more confusion. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
So unworthiness sort of expressed this going in circles and then actually, said that and then actually did that.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So does that seem accurate to what happens to you when you feel unworthy?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that's good insight from there. So do you see the difference between from this perspective of what happened is not, the perspective of what happened from unworthiness? Do you see that?
Could you repeat that?
I know. I did not say that very well. I totally get that. So from this perspective of the personality, right, the way that I kind of helped you, we described what we experienced happened over there, not
yes.
That's what we experienced.
Right.
See that? So in the middle of the experience, in the unworthiness chair was this circular background, I don't know, and then coming out of it into a descriptive place, right?
Right.
Then when we went back to your personality, it becomes more, how am I going to explain that? But that really what I want you to do is just to have observed what happened.
Okay.
Right? So now I'm going to have you move into the observer chair.
Alrighty.
Yeah, and let's just connect there with an I am presence.
Okay.
And from here, how do you feel about the unworthy part of Dawn?
Well, first thing I want to say is that a little sad that she feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
From here, because she's not seen that way. From the observer standpoint.
Well, if you're the observer, then I don't see her that way from here.
Yeah, I don't see her that way.
Well, how do you see her?
I see her as confused and in need of guidance.
Well, how about this? I see her as perfectly worthy of whatever she wants.
Yeah, she's loved. She's very worthy.
Well, but remember, I want to try to help everybody with this. I, you know, feel love toward her. I see her as worthy. I think, right? Not just sort of abstractly by others. This is you. This is you, the observer.
Yes. So say it in the eye. I know that she's worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she's loved.
Mm-hmm.
I know that she's valued. And...
And also, let me ask you, and only answer honestly, right? Because we're trying to get into the different energies, you know?
Right.
Is this part of you, do you love her?
No.
Okay. Interesting, yeah? So go into the middle chair now.
Okay. I'm in the middle.
Okay. From this perspective, looking sort of at the energy of the unworthiness, do you feel love for the unworthiness?
I feel very frustrated by the unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, very, very frustrated.
Mm-hmm. That's great, right? So let me ask you this then, because I'm trying to help you get a little resolution with, you know, just using this process. I'm trying to determine what to go. What was your experience in the, you know, of from this perspective of the observer chair?
Of the observer chair, I just, I was just looking at the challenger chair and feeling empathy for the feelings that she has, and that she's not seen that way.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you in the personality chair capable of loving?
Am I capable of what?
Loving, L-O-V-I-N-G.
Yeah, loving the...
Just in general, just period.
In loving, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the observer capable of loving?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Say it again.
Is the observer chair capable of loving?
Well, it's not just the chair, the observer part of you. Yes, yes, the observer part of you. Is it capable of loving? Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that the observer, though, was incapable of loving this part of yourself.
Yeah. I said that?
Yep. You did.
Wow.
So we're just wanting to feel into that, right?
Yeah. I guess I...
Yeah, I don't want you to defend...
Long, it's frustrating.
Yes, in this chair, I totally get it. Like, this is completely accurate, reflective, very helpful. I myself am frustrated with the unworthy part of me.
Yes.
Totally makes sense. Yes. Very, very clear, very understandable. You know, it's also, you know, it's not neutral, but it's not, you're not enmeshed in unworthiness when you say that. You're not even enmeshed in your frustration.
Right.
Right? So, very honest, right? But the neutral observing self, even though I keep using the word neutral, right? That is, you know, I'm gonna change the word now to soul.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to move over to the other, to the observer chair, and really connect to the part of you that is your soul, that is your spirit, that is your higher self.
Okay, I'm in the chair.
Connect, and again, we're connecting to energies. We're not trying to guess or defend, okay?
Okay.
And I want you to connect to the most spiritual part of you, the part of you that knows.
Yes.
More than the human experience. The part of you that's connected to things that are holy and divine. The part of you that's capable of immense love. That's part of that part of you that's capable of compassion and creativity. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay. Now from here, what would the soul like to say to the unworthy part of you?
I'm getting choked up here that you are so loved and worthy and valued, accepted.
Yeah, pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Pretty easy when we're in this energy. I want everybody to get that, right?
Yeah.
So this is also something, this is just a little different than from Colette. I often refer to this chair as the soul chair instead of the observer,
yeah,
which is harder, okay? So this seems to be working a little better, so let's go ahead and try this, right? Pretty easy to love the fractured parts of ourselves from this perspective. Yeah?
Yes. It's easy,
okay.
Yeah,
right? And how does it feel to easily love a broken part?
Yes. It felt natural.
No, you're still in it, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it feels natural.
Yes, it feels natural, and it's easy, yes. It's easy, it's light, it comes, it flows through me in this chair.
Great.
In the soul chair.
Perfect. So, yeah, now we're getting the energy of it all, okay? So you can just feel the difference, the shift, yeah? So now I want to ask the soul part of you, how do you, you know, what would you like to say about the personality in a part of Nicole that's really frustrated with the unworthiness part of her?
Say to the personality chair, it's compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you need to curb your frustration with compassion.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good advice, yeah. Yeah. Like, just try it. Once you try curbing your frustration with compassion, how about that, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay, so now go back into the personality chair.
Okay.
Okay, now just kind of come back present with me, right? We're just
yes.
getting to know these different parts of ourselves, and the chairs are helping, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, the chairs are begin to help us with the boundaries, with the dividing lines, with what's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so now, having sort of witnessed that, I'm just curious, do you feel like you can feel a little more compassion and less frustration toward the unworthiness part of yourself?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I think you can too, right? I can feel it, right? Do you see
yes.
how quickly that yes came?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it feels much better now than it did before.
Okay. So if you're willing, you willing to go back into the unworthy chair for a minute?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go head on over there and then get into that unworthy chair, right?
Yes.
And so I'm going to speak directly to unworthy, and I want you to try to do your best to speak as unworthy. And this is what I want to say. I want to say, I experienced you and I saw you get all caught up in the circular nature of what happens when you feel unworthy. And I want to let you know that that feels okay, but I want to let you know that you don't have to be afraid of what I'm going to think. I'd much rather have you just tell me a little bit more about feeling dark and stuck and like you can't communicate, which leads me to believe that you're likely feeling, you know, out of relationship and lonely. Tell me a little bit more about how you feel.
Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And judged.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Making mistakes.
Yeah, I get it. I hear you're afraid to make a mistake because you're afraid to be judged. Totally
yeah.
get it. Totally get it. So instead of doing that, we're just going to create some confusion and some distraction because we don't want to be. We're just going to avoid the judgment. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yes, we totally get that. Makes so much sense why you would do that. Totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Totally get it. So now I'm just going to ask you, would you like to do something else?
Yes.
Yes. What do you think you could put your energy toward that you would rather do that might be able to help Nicole, the personality? What would you like to be doing?
What would I like to be doing? I would like to make...
Well, what would you rather be doing than going in circles and being afraid of being judged?
What would I rather be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Not going in circles, walking forward.
Yeah. What would you feel comfortable being focused?
I would. Yes, I would feel comfortable focused.
Well, but we're looking for a verb. This is the part where we're trying to give you a job. And right now, your job is to distract you to save Nicole from judgment. You
okay.
are getting confused.
Okay.
So I would rather have you do something. I'm going to let you know that Nicole and the observer self are going to be able to handle any judgment. We're not going to worry about it. It's not your job.
Okay.
Okay? Not your job anymore to save her from judgment.
I'm just going to stop going in circles and just sit here.
Well, what would...
I'm stone right now.
Yeah, I get that. So let's just be calm and not go in circles. I totally get it. Let's just sit. So how about a little meditation cushion for you?
A meditation?
Mm-hmm. Meditation cushion that you can sit on.
Okay.
Right? And this part of yourself that tends to get in circles, let's just get it into, you know, a nice quiet meditation, a focused meditation on peace and stillness. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
How's that going?
It feels better.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Okay, let's go back to the personality chair.
Okay.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about what you just experienced there and what your take on that is.
I experienced the dark and the dark emotions of being afraid and scared and jealous.
Well, here's the thing. Sorry, I know I'm just trying to help everybody get this. Your personality actually didn't really experience that. The loneliness part of you. I mean, the unworthiness part of you experienced that.
Yes.
Right. That's... So now you're in this, right? And just sort of like me, right? I'm sort of with you, and you know, I experienced this transformation. What did you experience happen over there?
I understand what you're looking for now.
Okay.
I experienced it a shift of not being in a whirlwind and being able just to be still, move from the rock to the pillow in comfort. And just had a settling feeling of just being still.
Yes. So let me just help you a little bit for everybody, okay? Right?
Okay.
What just experienced is that when finally the wounded, you know, unworthy part of me was able to express itself, it was able to tell me that it creates going in circles as a distraction to being judged.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I know that now. Yeah. And so it doesn't want to do that. It's tired of doing that. That part of me is exhausted.
Yeah.
And given its choice, it would rather just sit in silence and focus on peace and calm. And when it did, it felt a lot better.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yes. So when I start to feel that wounded part of myself, when I feel like I'm confused and I'm going in circles, that means that I'm afraid of judgment, my unworthiness has been activated, and I need to send it into meditation to quiet it down so that I can get to the task at hand instead of be run by my pattern of unworthiness.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
Thank you so much for being willing to hang in there. But
you
demonstrated this process very well for everyone.
Oh, well, my pleasure.
Okay. So yes. I do want to review just a little bit with you, if that's okay, because I'm reviewing it with everybody as we do this, as we learn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the key was really, you know, getting into the true energy of each one separately and listening, right?
Yes.
So, you know, since I have the experience to sort of give this to you, what we're going for is we couldn't quite get to the voice of the unworthiness until the second time around, and then it was pretty clear about what it does to distract because it was afraid of being judged. We didn't get that the first time around, but we got it the second time, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we want to be as patient as we can and listen, because it's got powerful information that we need. And in this case, it was, I create distraction and confusion in order to avoid being judged. Gold mine of information, right?
Yeah.
Then secondly, we also learned that observer connection wasn't very strong. In fact, it still felt so much like you that it was unable to love a wounded part. So that's not going to work. That's not the connection we need, right?
Right.
So then we have this, you know, backup of let's just connect to the soul part of us, right? I'm just trying to come up with other words for people so that you can really begin to feel the shift in the energies of not only because the chairs represent parts of us that actually exist, but are hard to tell apart. So the chairs represent different energy places we can sit in to get to know those parts of ourselves. So once we connected to that more divine, you know, just all the goodness of you in that chair and was able to literally from that place look at the wounded part of yourself, there's always nothing but compassion there. Quick, easy, nothing but compassion, right? So now we can see all these three parts. These are all parts of you reflected through the process of different chairs to get some greater clarity about unworthiness. That's very helpful.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Thank you. And so I just also want to say to you. Say again.
So it's an amazing process.
So tell me a little bit about what your experience was then.
Well, just connecting into the different energies in the different chairs, being able to feel the difference, especially the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very profound, and I think the more I use it, the faster I'll be able to connect to the energy of each chair.
Yes, perfect. Because this is great. I so appreciate this, Dawn, because this, like everything else, is once we hang in there, right? Because this was difficult, just like it was difficult for Nicole, right?
Yes.
Right? So, but we got to a place of resolution with Nicole because a nap is perfectly fine, right? And we got to experience a depth she had yet to get to. And even if it was uncomfortable, it was worth it. And you're saying the same thing. This was hard. It was uncomfortable. I didn't get it, but I hung in there and it was worth it.
Yeah. Right? Yes. No. I really felt a shift in energy through this process.
Okay.
And I feel better.
Good. Good. Thank you so much, Dawn. That was so helpful. I so appreciate your willingness to be coached for everybody. And you're getting the love here on the Facebook page as well.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Thanks so much. Okay. I am going to now just also say that I'm going to link the two processes. Like, we could either have looked at the landscape of unworthiness and found out some insights there, and or connected to the energy of unworthiness as a voice and get insights there. Either one of those approaches is fine. One's not necessarily better than the other. This one is a little bit difficult to try to manage the voices and to keep on track with, but it, you know, creates perhaps different types of insights than the landscape does, right? So we just are going deeper for the gold mine of things that we were unaware of before, and likely we were unaware of because we were unwilling to go there. But again, with these examples, it's always worth it to go there, and it creates a great shift in energy. It creates a much better empowered place of self-awareness, and it also gives you something to respond to these voices and or feelings that show up in a new way that we were unable to access prior to having done this. And that's what we're doing. We're accessing new ways of being with the old emotions and with the old patterns. So thank you so much, Nicole and Dawn. I don't see anybody else's hand up, so I'm just going to check the Q&A on the webcast one more time to see if there are any other questions in the Facebook page. Otherwise, that's going to be it for today. So I don't see any here. Or here, just mostly the thank you. Okay, and Brenda's just saying the soul chair resonated more than the observer. So that's great, right? If, particularly if we have a spiritual tendency, which most of us do here, that works well. It's similar to Colette saying some people won't resonate with the term goblin, so then we just want to call it a challenger. For those of us that love sort of this fairy tale aspect, the goblin's going to be a perfect term for it. Some people are, you know, not going to resonate with anything too spiritual, so the observer is a good word. But for those of us that do, the soul or the spiritual side or the really good part of us is just another way to phrase that. So we don't want to get too caught up in with language, but we do want to go with the language that works. Okay, everyone, thanks so much. We've got our final week next week, and it's going to be a little bit more fun. It's not going to be, as, challenging as this call is, but it's going to take it a little bit more deep. We've got some great processes to go through next week, and the information will come out on Monday, as always. I'm going to post a study buddy thread for this weekend tomorrow, and then we'll have our final call on Thursday, and just keep the questions coming because I'm happy to answer them, and that's what I'm here for. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.